Welcome to Genesis Church Online. We are so glad that you are gathering here with us. And if you're new to Genesis Church, we're a church where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything's possible. And we're really passionate about helping you take your next step with Jesus. And we believe everyone has a next step and every single step matters. Every single step counts. And so if you are joining us today and maybe you are so exhausted from your week or maybe you're excited and expectant, maybe you are joining and you are struggling in areas of your life or you feel like you're absolutely thriving. Maybe you're gathering with us today and the truth is you're really, really discouraged or you are really, really devoted to following Jesus and you have this sense of contentment and joy. Wherever you might be and whatever's going on in your life, I want to let you know you belong here. And I really do believe that God wants to meet you in a powerful way. If you have a Bible with you, whether that's hardback or paperback or an iPad or some type of mobile device, I want to invite you to make your way over to Romans chapter 12 as we continue our series, The Promise Still Stands. Really excited about opening God's word with you today. Last week, I had the opportunity to be in Birmingham for a few days. I have been a part for the last 2 years of a group of people and I'm serving as a church health director for the Christian and Missionary Alliance. As a church family, we are a part of a larger church family called the Alliance, which really is all about taking all of Jesus to all of the world. And I love what God's doing through our tribe. And this was the last meeting of the year. And I sat down at a table at 8 a.m. and I was looking around the room and I thought the people in this room could not be any different. They are so different in their personalities and their interests. It was a room full of different leaders. One leader is from Nashville, and he's on the outskirts of Nashville. He really loves Tennessee football, country music, drives a very large truck, is bald, and is passionate about helping people understand God's word. And he is just this wonderful servant. I would say is a gift in serving. And then you had just across from him, this extremely affluent area in Birmingham. Someone who was tall and who was slim and he didn't drive a large truck. He drove a BMW X5. He wasn't passionate about football. He was passionate about finances and charcuterie boards and loved reading. And really, I would say has an incredible gift of teaching. And then if you were to go on the other side of them, there is this guy who's a leader from Chattanooga who's all about adventure and who loves adventure. And he doesn't drive a truck or a car. He drives a minivan. And he also is really passionate about things of justice and caring for the poor. And I would say he has a tremendous spiritual gift of mercy and hospitality. And he has this beard that's been growing for years. You look around this room full of leaders and they're all in different places. They have different interests. To be honest, none of them would probably hang out with each other on the weekend. And yet I sat there in that room and I thought it looks like they have nothing in common. But the truth is they have everything in common because they are kingdom common. What do I mean by that? What I mean is it's a group of people who have found themselves in a place in life and they've surrendered to Jesus. They've responded to the gospel. And after putting their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, they're welcomed into God's family. And they have a new identity and a new future. And they really have a new hope, but they also have a new family as a whole. And they might be unique with their unique personalities and they might have unique gifts, but they're all a part of one family. Many gifts, one family, many gifts, one family, many gifts, one family. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this. They were gifted to glorify God. They were gifted for their own joy. They were gifted for the advancement of the gospel. And they were gifted to bless other people. This is really, at the end of the day, what's at the heart in Romans chapter 12, a letter written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to a group who is a local church made up of Jews and Gentiles. He's attempting to strengthen their faith. And there is a powerful teaching here that I simply want to point our attention toward. So with all this in mind, would you pick up with me in Romans chapter 12? Look with me at verse 3. We'll read to verse 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so it is in Christ. We, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do that cheerfully. Now, if you're taking down notes, and I want to encourage you to take down notes because I have some things that I really believe that God wants me to encourage you with today. And so the first thing I would tell you to write down is this, that giftedness always starts with humility. That giftedness always starts with humility. Because here's the truth. You're not a cheap imitation. You're an original. The truth is you're not an accident. You are created on purpose for a purpose. And God has given you tremendous gifts. And you don't even realize the gifts that he has given you. Many of us have not even unlocked those gifts and really seen those gifts flourish. But the truth is, any conversation about someone's giftedness must always start from the place of humility. It's one thing to be gifted, but it's another thing to be grounded. I'm afraid in so many circles, we become so infatuated, so impressed with people's giftedness that we've overvalued giftedness and we've undervalued groundedness. And I could say it like this, your gifts may get you into a room, but it's your groundedness that will keep you in the room. Or whenever you think about gifts, the gifts that God has given you, you think about your contribution. But whenever you think about the word groundedness, I want you to think about your character. And how someone contributes is huge. People are hired based on their ability to contribute. People go to college in order to learn how to contribute. They hire coaches to contribute more. They read books to contribute in greater ways. We pay others to help us contribute. But over time, the thing that keeps us in the race, the thing that keeps us in the room, it's not our giftedness, it's our groundedness. It's not our contribution, it's our character. This is why you're groundedness, not your giftedness, determines your long-term joy and effectiveness. Let me say that again. Someone needs to hear that today. That your groundedness, not your giftedness, will determine over the long term your joy and your effectiveness. And this is why Paul just says this very boldly. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. What is humility? Because you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with humility? Well, humility is not a low opinion of yourself, but an honest and accurate opinion of yourself. And the word humility, the prefix there, it's the same word we use for humus. Both mean stooping down to the ground and earthiness. In other words, both of them are words to describe groundedness. A humility is a groundedness. To be humble means that you are grounded. And I think in the local church, oftentimes we practice false humility. So someone says, after someone has led an event, you did a great job. And the person says, it was none of me. It was just God. It wasn't me. I had nothing to bring to the table. And I want to say, are you kidding me? Like, you're made in the very image of God, that you are wonderful and you are handcrafted. You are an original. You're not a cheap imitation. In the New Testament, it says that you are God's workmanship. That's the same word that we get for poem. You're God's poetry. Are you kidding me? God has given you giftedness. This particular thing that was led didn't happen on accident. God used you. It's not being false in our sense of humility that I think we're struggling with. I think it's just pure insecurity. And I think we need to have true humility to say, yes, thank you. God has given me some gifts of leadership, and I'm going to make my life count. And I did the best I could, and it was a joy to serve. Thank you very much. I think that's the accurate response. But sometimes we can use this kind of false humility. And I think what we miss is humility is being accurate and honest with ourselves. And here's how 1 Peter puts this whole aspect of giftedness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In some ways, I think what the Apostle Paul is addressing, I can't firmly prove it, but it does show up in other instances, is not just, we'll say, a false humility or a sense of entitlement and arrogance. I actually think that he might be addressing a celebrity culture. That in other words, even at this point in time in history, that there were people who were elevating others because of their giftedness, and they weren't just inspired, they weren't just admiring it. It was almost like a form of idolatry, that they were taking things that were good and making it God. And I think that's extremely appropriate for the church today. I think we overvalue people's giftedness and we undervalue people's groundedness. We overvalue their contribution and we undervalue character. Giftedness, any conversations of giftedness always starts with humility. And our gifts, they don't make us better than anyone else. They just make us uniquely different. You are not better than anyone else, but you are uniquely different. And Paul is saying, I want you to have joy when it comes to your gift, but your gifts, they don't make you better than any other person. They just make you uniquely different. You need to stop denying you have gifts, and you need to anchor your giftedness in your groundedness. Because our greatest giftedness is always our greatest weakness. Isn't that true? Our great strengths are also the place of our great weakness. And part of that's because we start being self-sufficient and we stop any reliance and trust and savoring on the goodness of God and God's work in and through our lives. If you're a teacher and you've been teaching for 5 years, by the time you get to year 5, chances are you aren't praying for God to help you with lessons plans. If you're a leader and you lead a staff meeting and you've been leading that staff meeting for a few years, chances are you're no longer praying for God's wisdom as you exercise leadership. There is this tendency to be self-reliant instead of continually having this sense of dependency on God. And our great giftedness also tells us our great weakness. Our greatest strengths are often our greatest weakness. God's given me some gifts, and I do the best I can with them. He's given me a gift of wisdom. He's given me a gift of teaching. He's given me a gift of leadership. But I can remember fighting the gift of teaching. And I really didn't want anything to do with it. I never saw myself as someone who would be preaching or teaching and serving a local church in any way. And God just continued to work in my life. I was actually in a preaching class in college. I worked diligently. The class was a homiletics class. That's how describing a preaching class. And I worked so hard on this particular message. It was 10 minutes long. I probably put 40 hours into this message. And it was going to be not just among my peers, but also among my professors. I was selected to speak. And I worked so hard on making sure I fine-tuned every single word. I wanted them to like me. I wanted them to have this wow moment. I wanted them to be inspired. And here's the true story. I got up to speak and I could not say the words. I pulled out my notes and I'm trying to read my notes and I couldn't read my notes. Rarely does this ever happen to me, but I just started crying in front of everyone. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on, but I can't do this. I immediately left, and I remember going back to my dorm room and just saying, God, what are you doing? Are you trying to humiliate me? I was so angry and discouraged. And I never knew the exact reason for that event and why that happened. But God met me that day in a way that's hard to describe. And now every single time I have the privilege of getting to speak, to use the gift that he's given me in whatever ways he sees fit, I'll say and pray, God, I know you can take the very words out of my mouth, but I'm praying you don't. If God taught me anything, it is that my gifts are for his glory at the end of the day, and to stay grounded in that. That gifts are not about making me look good, but my gifts really are to point people to Jesus. And I figured something after considering it for a while, and that is we only have gifts for a season. Have you ever thought about that? I doubt in eternity the Apostle Paul is going to say, hey, would you mind doing that sermon on Romans chapter 12? I can't wait to hear it. Like, would you mind doing that for me? Moses, come on over here. Timothy, you got to come and hear this. That's not going to happen. Gifts are for a season, and they're for a purpose. You are who you are, and you have been handcrafted and shaped on purpose. And what you've been given is given because of God's generosity and God's purposes in your life. We're not the supplier of the gifts, but we are the steward of the gifts. We didn't make the gifts, but we do get to manage the gifts. Now, how are we to deal with the gifts that God's given us? Romans chapter 12, look with me at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, then lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, then do it cheerfully. Keep in mind, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. There are at least four different places spiritual gifts are mentioned. Here are just a few of the gifts that we see. We see the gift of encouragement, giving, leadership, prophecy, serving, teaching, administration, discernment, wisdom, faith, healing, knowledge, tongues of interpretation of tongues, evangelism, shepherding, celibacy, hospitality, generosity. I could just keep going on and on and on. We see this list of gifts that are given for God's glory, your joy, and the goodness of the community and places that you live to advance the gospel and to bless others. And I love it because God always gives us opportunities to exercise the gifts that he's given. God will always give you an opportunity to exercise your gifts. That means you don't have to waste your gifts. For instance, as a church family, in a local way, we are getting to host something called Turkey Takeout. In the South Baldwin, the county that we are at, we have just in our elementary schools, 100 families that have lost their homes. And we have the opportunity to come alongside and to be a part of providing Thanksgiving for 500 families, making sure no family goes without food on Thanksgiving. And I think about this, for some, you have a spiritual gift of leading and you get to lead in that event. For some, you have a gift of generosity and for $40, you can feed a family of four. You can give. For some people, it's the gift of service, and we need 40 more volunteers to be a part of that. If you go to turkeytakeout.com, you can sign up to serve. My family is serving. Our staff is serving on that day. And we would love to have you join us because we'll be hosting it right here in our physical location in our Family Life Center. God will always give you an opportunity to use the very gifts that he's given to you. And gifts are meant to be used in so many different ways. But have you ever thought about this, that you didn't really choose your gifts? If I were to ask you, did you choose where you were born? What about your IQ? Did you choose your IQ? What about the parents that you have? Did you choose your parents? The answer to those questions are no, and you didn't choose your gifts. God's given you some gifts. And sometimes we think too highly of our gifts and we think too lowly of the giver of those gifts. And that should reveal something to us, that our giftedness doesn't equal maturity. You can have great giftedness and still not be spiritually mature. Some of the most dangerous things that happen is when people use their spiritual gifts and they're not grounded with a great sense of emotionally healthy maturity. But I love it whenever people get this picture that God's given me gifts for His glory and to bless other people. I have a good friend. I still remember a conversation with them, and they were sharing, what's my gift? What's my contribution to the kingdom of God? They were someone who still travels all over the place. They work really hard, and they have a unique influence in our world. They were sharing with me because they have been very blessed financially. And I started to share, could it be that God gave you a spiritual gift of giving? That the truth is, you have resources that you have, and you can use those resources in unique ways to bless other people. And now that person uses this language in our conversations, and I love it. It fires me up. He'll say, I'm an earner for the kingdom of God. Think about that for a moment. I'm an earner for the kingdom of God. I might not be able to do this, but I am able to do that. And I can make sure ministries are fully funded ministries and the gospel is advancing. God will give you an opportunity to use your gifts. Now, if I were to get practical with you, I would simply point you to take time in community and talk with people who know you well and can help you identify your spiritual gifts. Also, there are plenty of tests online. There is this particular test. If you go to gifts.churchgrowth.org, that's gifts.churchgrowth.org. You can take a test there and it will help you reveal your spiritual gifts, and you can become aware of the gifts that God has given you. I remember sitting with my daughter, and I gave her a sheet of paper and some markers. I left for a while, and she made a painting for me. And she gave it to me, but the truth is I lost it, and it got crumpled up and thrown in the garbage. And she asked, she said, where is that? And I said, well, I don't have it. I don't know where it is. And she just lost it. And she was so brokenhearted. And it moved me so much that I actually spent time working through the trash and finding where that was. And I found it, and it was all crumpled up. And I made sure it was straightened out. And I put that in my office, and I showed it to her. And her whole face lit up. And she was just so happy. And I thought about this, because here I gave her something and then she gave that back to me. I gave her something and she gave that back to me. When you think about our life with God, God gives us everything. And what we do with what God has given, including our gifts, is called worship whenever we give those back to Him. I thought about being able to kind of pass a mic around at our church. And if I did, it would be powerful to hear the stories. I can just imagine someone like Sarah holding a microphone and sharing that her gift is administration. And so she makes sure that kids are checked in and people have adequate supplies that they're needed. And then she follows it up just by saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. I was made for this. I thought about a conversation I had with Destin and how Destin could share that he works with a wonderful audio and visual team. And he makes sure that we actually have sound and works with a great team, and he'd probably say if we weren't doing our job, you couldn't hear anything. And maybe he would end it by saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. and I was made for this. Or Sadie, who invests passionately in our students, and she could share about her gifts of encouragement as she comes along students and encourages them and makes time for that on a consistent basis. And she'd finish up and saying, "My name's Sadie, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I was made for this." Or I think of Jonathan, who, if you share with Jonathan a request, he will commit to intercede and pray for you. In fact, they lead a prayer team. And on our in-person Sunday gatherings, you can go and you can talk with Jonathan and his team, and they will pray for you. I could just visually see him saying, "My name's Jonathan, I'm a follower of Jesus, I was made for this." Or DJ, who serves in many roles, including on our finance team as one of our elders, and DJ sharing his gift to make sure that we steward the resources God has given us with great wisdom and intentionality. And he finishes up by just saying, "My name's DJ, and I'm a follower of Jesus, and I was made for this." You know, as we finish, I want to encourage and challenge you. God has given you gifts. You need to discover those gifts, and you need to make sure that you use them and maximize your time that you're given here on earth for His glory, for your joy and the good of the community that we live in, to advance the gospel and to bless other people, that you have a life full of purpose, that you were made for this. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the space and time that you give us. It's a privilege, and it's such an honor to share time with men and women who are watching this. And I'm praying that you will help them take their next step with you. Spirit of the living God, reveal and give them awareness of their giftedness. Give them awareness of ways that they can serve and use those gifts, and that they will steward them well. And make them fully alive in you with joy. And where the gifts that you've given them lie, may they be men and women who are truly grounded, that they grow in their maturity and a deeper life with you. Again, for the sake of your glory, for their own joy, for the good of the communities that you allow us to live, that we might be people who are blessings to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.